Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Writing Mama Show. This is your host, V.S. Grenier. Host Irene Roth isn't able to make it today. They actually are having really bad storms out in Canada, so we're sorry she wasn't able to join us. But we're excited because we just recently found out from Blog Talk Radio that the World of Ink Network is considered a featured host now on their network. So all our shows are featured, which is very exciting for us, so we want to give a call and a thank you to Blog Talk Radio for giving us this opportunity to be one of their featured hosts on their network. It's really a great honor for us. Today is November 12th, 2012. It's 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central Time, noon Mountain, and 11 a.m. Pacific. A little bit about who we are here at the World of Ink Network. As you know, I'm V.S. Grenier. I am the owner and partner with Marcia Casper Cook. I'm a writer, an award-winning author, speaker, and editor. Irene Roth, who's normally on the show with me on The Writing Mama, is also an author, an editor, and a speaker. And then we do shows weekly, and then we do a monthly show called The Family Matters Show for parents, teachers, and schools and kids on various topics. So that's a little about who we are and what we do. And we're excited today because we actually have a little bit of a different show here on The Writing Mama. Typically, we talk about more fiction books or even some nonfiction books, but usually they're more like historical nonfiction books. But today, we're actually doing a little bit more of a religious-type show because our author has written a bunch of nonfiction books or more like little journal books based around the Bible called Bible Bites. So we're excited about that. And our author today is Shirley. Here I go. I'm getting tongue-tied, Shirley. Kuhfeld, thank you.
Kuhfeld in German.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I just all of a sudden got tongue-tied. I'm like, because I'm not used to doing the opening along with the introduction. I'm like, oh, my gosh, here I go. So we're excited to have you on this show. And you are actually, in what state are you? You're in the Midwest.
Northern Wisconsin, near the Michigan border, Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, so you're up in that little northern area.
Correct. Yes,
there.
Northern Wisconsin.
Is it getting cold? I mean, you know, because I know the Great Lakes are up there, and they tend to, you know, and then Canada as well with their cold fronts.
This morning woke up. Yeah, we do. We've got a dusting of snow.
Aw. We got rain, but we haven't gotten snow. Now, which I know we were talking about before the show started, I'm in southern Utah, but all of northern Utah is blanketed right now, and I think in anywhere from like 2 to 4 feet of snow, but we didn't get any. We just got rain and hail. That was about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have enjoyed the nice soft stuff instead blanketing my yard, but oh well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll get it soon enough, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. So I would love for you to share a little bit about who you are with our listeners, Shirley, because, I mean, you didn't start off to become a writer. It just kind of happened. So I would love for you to kind of share about, you know, what your background is and then, of course, how you fell into writing, you know, these little journals called Bible Bites, because it's really a fascinating story to hear.
Okay, my mother took all of us to church. I have 4 sisters, 3 older sisters, and then my twin sister. And we went to church all the time when we were growing up. And then, obviously, after high school and college, I didn't go to church. I got married when I was 25, and my first daughter was born when I was 30. And when she was a year old, I was just compelled. I had to go back to church. So I went to church, First Baptist Church in Elgin, and I really didn't know what I was getting into it, but I just kind of walked in into a class taught by John Mosman. It was a Sunday school class. It wasn't church. But I went there, and he was teaching the Book of Romans. He had a handout that was about half an inch thick, and I started in September, and he probably finished that in the following spring. And maybe a year or two later, then I started attending a discovery class. John had mentioned, here's Mr. So-and-so, and he had just finished the discovery class. And hearing a class called discovery class, well, that really got me interested. So I attended discovery class. That started in September, and it was, you know, just a small handbook. It had five chapters, maybe five or eight verses for each chapter. We start in September, and I'm thinking, why is it taking until March to get through this? It just took so long. But that following April, because of what I learned in that book, it was called Lessons on Assurance. There was one verse in there, essentially it said, Jesus Christ was saying, if you deny me here in this life, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And I thought, oh my gosh, I always thought heaven was a free gift. And it is, but we have to acknowledge Jesus Christ to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So for over 30 years now, I have been going to Bible studies. My daughters are now in their 30s. I've been going to Bible studies, and everyone, every now and then, somebody would say, well, you should journal your life, what your life was like before Christ and what's been happening in your life after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never come up with a format that worked for me. And probably in the late 90s, I started attending a support group for codependents. And that kind of really opens up your eyes. And one thing I learned about support groups is people will show up for one or two sessions or maybe one book, but they won't really dig into what it is in their life that's causing them codependency or any other host of problems. I spent 9 years in the support group because I wanted to fix myself. And
right.
I found so many people who just weren't willing to fix themselves. There was one gal, her husband committed suicide. There were a number of gals. They finally came to admit that they'd had abortions when they were teenagers, and their families never knew about this.
Mm-hmm.
There was another gal. She had been a drug addict. She came to recovery. She was a wonderful human being. But when you're a drug addict, those addictions pull you. And she eventually died of a heroin overdose, kind of like in a back alley in Chicago. And then her mother refused to claim her body, so she was buried in a pauper's grave in Chicago about 8 years ago. So there's so many things that you can find out about yourself if you give yourself the time. And so I just kind of wanted to go through something that was small enough. Bible Bites are 4 inches by 6 inches. It's going to fit in your purse, in a backpack, in your pocket, or in a briefcase. It's small enough. And what I learned is that if you look at just one verse, it can impact your life. Like I mentioned that one verse where Jesus said, if you deny me in this life, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And so for every person, it could be a different verse. But if you give somebody the opportunity to just look at a verse, and if they can't think of a prayer to write, all they can do is maybe just copy the prayer on that piece of paper there that's in the book and read it out loud. So you're getting your different senses involved with it. And let God do the work. I'm not an author. I'm not a brilliant speaker. But I can present. To me, I've got my four little booklets lined up here like little soldiers in front of me. But to me, if it's attractive enough and if it's quick enough, people go to McDonald's, they go to all kinds of quick things. Well, I don't want going to God be a quick thing. But for somebody like my daughter, she's a working mother. She's got to get up between 5 and 5:30, get her daughter up. She's got to leave her house before 6:30 in the morning, get to work at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then when you've got young kids, you don't have time for extended study. Like the study that I took when I was in that support group, sometimes I was the only one who did the homework, because sometimes that homework is a half hour a day. But if it's 3 minutes a day, maybe somebody's going to go ahead and do it.
Well, yeah, and what I love about the books when I was looking them over is a few things. I mean, I grew up, you know, with religion being a big part of my life, and I have actually very many different denominations in my family. You know, the most predominant one is the Mormon Church, but, you know, I have Catholics in my family, we have Protestants in our family, we have, you know, Church of Christ in my family. I mean, it's very scattered, and I'd say Catholics are probably the other dominant force in my family line, in my family tree. And I'm talking, you know, like, you know, from immediate family to grandparents to my aunts, uncles, cousins, you know, so relatively close family that I see, you know, a few times a year. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting, I can't remember how old I was. I just remember I was a teen, but I was at church with, my parents are divorced. I was with one set. I don't even remember which set I was with at the time. But I remember sitting, and one of the teacher was up there, you know, talking and you know, going over scripture. And I loved the comment that the teacher had said, because, you know, a lot of people, like you're saying, they have a hard time when they're, you know, those who are very religious and devout, who want to, you know, spend time and actually really study and, you know, and absorb, you know, the Word of God, it's hard. I mean, you have kids, you have work, you have a house to take care of, you know, cars to maintain, yards, you know, all, you know, just friends and family that you have to keep relationships going with. And you get pulled in so many directions that it's really hard to find those quiet times to sit down. And he had made a comment that he writes down, and that's why when Lisa Yumina contacted me through Halo about, you know, about you and your books, I was like, oh my gosh, this totally reminded me when I was a kid, because he made a comment that he always wrote down on this little notebook. He'd open up, you know, the scriptures and just pick one scripture, you know, just randomly let the book fall open, and then just pick randomly from that page one scripture and write it down, put it in his pocket, and on his way to work, on his way home during his lunch, he would reread that scripture, and only just mm-hmm. that one scripture, and ponder about it. And you know, and that was kind of, and his whole lesson was about, you know, search, ponder, and pray, and how you can do that just one scripture at a time. And so when I found out about the Bible Bites, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember hearing this years ago as a kid, and of course, you know, in one ear, out the other. And I was like, this is literally almost the same concept for people, because, you know, if you think about it, it's hard to take in even a whole chapter of scripture mm-hmm. at a time. And so by going by, you know, literally verse by verse, you know, sometimes you need to do that for it to sink in. So I really love this concept. And I love the fact that it's also a way to journal, because I grew up family history being a huge, you know, important thing. My grandmother, my mom's mom, she does all our family history. That's what she's, my whole life, that's all she does. Is anytime someone gets married or anything happens, doesn't matter what religion they are, you know, she's like, give me the information so I can get it in our records. And so I love that, because besides, you know, those who, you know, either want to find, you know, God in their life in Christ, or, you know, those who already have it but want to, you know, take it an extra step and really, you know, take in each, you know, different scripture, you know, by verse into your life, you also have that journaling. So to me, I think I see that as a way of leaving kind of your words to your, you know, posterity as well.
That's exactly it. My mother died in 1995, and I've got my four sisters. So after my mother died, and my mother had three houses, her mm-hmm. main house in Illinois, that was her year-round house. And so we went through that, and you find all kinds of things that somebody who grew up there during the Depression, they save things. They save plastic bags, aluminum foil. She had a bag of old nylons. Because mm-hmm. go through the Depression, you never know what you're going to be needing. And I had, oh, geez, I had to make so many trips up from the basement, because she had all kinds of pieces of plywood and 2x4s and 2x6s, because you never know when you might need this. We had to get rid of all kinds of things. You find the old greeting cards that we, her five children, sent to her over the years, but I never found her walk of faith. And to me, I about 4 years ago, I was journaling in a book. My friend who taught us about the, essentially it was codependent recovery. She had one journal, and I journaled in that, and it was over in a month. And I thought, well, I still want to keep on doing some journaling. I kind of got some benefit from this. And it was through that experience of journaling for 1 month, and then it's like, over. And I, over the years, I have tried so many different formats of journaling. I had some notebooks with blank pages, and I don't like blank pages because that gives me the idea that I can set the agenda on my journaling to God, and all they did, they turned out to be great sessions. I'm really not proud of those journaling efforts. I tried doing it on, in a notebook on a, you know, on a regular 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and I just couldn't find consistency because everything was too big or too bulky or just not a format that worked for me. And so when I started, well, my the first year I started accumulating verses, and then I thought, you know, if I'm going to try to sell this, I'd better start doing it myself. So I just took like 4 or 5 sheets of printer paper, folded in half, cut them in half, folded them again, and stapled them. And then as I was reading the Bible, I've gotten it to the point now where I can read my Bible and I can come to a verse and say, okay, this is a verse that somebody can journal to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just kind of, I think it's Ephesians, I'll find it in a minute. But it's now it's just easy where I can look at a verse. And there was, my sister had a book, and I was reading through it, and the author of this book was saying, read in your Bible until God tells you to stop reading and start praying. And so that's kind of where I got the idea, oh, well, God will give us the verses. So when I go through my Bible now, I'll read 4 to 6 pages a day, and I will circle those verses that would be appropriate for somebody to journal with. Now, all of these are different topics, but particularly the book of Ephesians, on each page I have maybe 10 or 15 or 20 circles with different verses. But if you look at, for somebody who's listening to this, if they look at Ephesians 5, you'll find maybe 15 verses that you can start journaling on. It's just easy, but every single verse is not going to apply to every single person because maybe if you're a teenager and you read this part on husbands and wives, that won't apply for you. But God's Word really does open itself to different audiences at different times in their lives with different circumstances
right.
that they find challenging.
Well, you know, and that's such a perfect, you know, statement that you just made because that's the one thing I found. I mean, when I have gone through, because I highlight, I actually do this on my own, highlight verses, and depending on, I have different, you know, color highlighters that I use. Actually, highlighting pencils is what I use. And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, I use different colors for different things, you know, be it on prayer or, you know, some type of self-reflection or whatever, I'll use that color. And I have gone through and probably over the years now, you know, when I look at my scriptures, I don't want to say every verse, you know, in every single, you know, different book is highlighted, but it's pretty dang close now because, you know, I started doing this when I was a teenager, but, you know, for the longest time, there'd be, you know, literally like 5, 6 verses that weren't highlighted, and then there'd be one, and then, you know, I'd go another like couple, and then there'd be another, and it's you're right. I mean, literally, depending on where you're at in your life and what circumstances are happening, each, you know, each one can affect, you know, will have an effect or not an effect on you if you need, you know, I love that. And I love that you're talking about how they're, you know, how they're on different topics because that's the one thing. And I didn't do this. My stepmom does this actually, which is where I learned how, which is where I got the idea of using the different color pencils. But she has different color pencils. Like she'll use green. And if she comes across a verse that hits her and it has to be about prayer, she'll highlight that like in green. And then if it's one that's on, you know, let's say, you know, I'll just pick adultery just because that's what, for whatever reason, that's the one that came to my mind, probably because I'm helping somebody with a romance book right now. Anyways, but she'll highlight that like in red, you know, kind of thing. And so that's how she did it. And I think sometimes, you know, we forget that, you know, we'll read you know, something out of the scriptures, and we're so focused on, you know, what's the overall meaning here, and we forget that, you know, each verse will hit on actually different topics sometimes within just one little chapter.
Right. So when I was first developing these four different titles, I submitted them all to Halo, and then before it went to final printing, I thought, you know, I'd better take a look at this. So I copied down every single scripture reference that I had for each of the four different titles. I copied them again from Bible Explorer, put them into an Excel spreadsheet with each title next to it. Then I sorted. And some of these verses I had in two or three different books. And some of the verses I had twice in the same book. So I had to make some adjustments because of that, because I don't want to, I just don't want to be repetitious. When I was doing Meet God and The Wow Factor, The Wow Factor is kind of like the second book on Meet God and His Son, because there were so many verses that I could have put in with Meet God and His Son, but with the overflow, I put them into The Wow Factor. And about 7 years ago, I was facilitating a Bible study. It was Search for Significance by Robert McGee. And there were a number of ladies there. And what we did was we just read a bunch of scripture. And I don't teach. I facilitate. And after we read maybe about six or seven different scriptures, I just asked the ladies, okay, respond to these verses. And they said, wow, they had never heard all of these expressions of love that God has for them, that they can be a child of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to put in there. And because so many, like my father-in-law, he had it really tough during the Depression. And his reason for rejecting God is, if God is such a loving God, why is there so much pain in this world? And that's, the basic question that so many people have. So he tried to work hard, and he was a very hard worker, but he and I've come to the conclusion that people who work hard without a relationship with God are basing their likability, not their salvation, just on works. If I work hard enough, people will accept me, and then I'll be liked. Mm-hmm. And it's just really misguided thinking, and it's very, very sad for some of those people that they just totally miss it. And with Bible Bites, I wanted to make it very inexpensive so that people would be willing to say, you know, for a buck, I can buy a couple of those and pass those out to somebody at work that I see who's having problems. I can maybe give it to the mailman. I can give it to this person or that person that they see on a regular basis. It's to me, it's just an easy gift. And every time I look at the picture on Meet God and His Son, I think you've got a copy of that,
yeah,
Virginia?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
I do.
One morning, I just walked out, and I am compelled to take pictures. I have just one of those little pocket cameras, a digital pocket camera, and one morning I walked out around 6 o'clock in the morning. I snapped two photos that morning. And then when I put them on my computer the other day, I realized, my gosh, this was a sunrise picture that I thought I was taking a picture of, but it's a perfect cross. And that's the cover on Meet God and His Son. Mm-hmm. So that was like the very first prompting from God that God says, I gave you something. Now I want you to do something with it.
Yeah, and I love what you've done with them. And I love the titles too, because you have Meet God and His Son, America, Land That I Love, Goals That Lead to Success, and then The Wow Factor. And I love that because they're very catchy titles, and they're not screaming like, oh, you must be of this faith to, you know, read these. I mean, you can be, you know, any denomination that believes in the Bible and what's in the teachings. And the other thing that you're talking about, I mean, because you're right, you know, they're inexpensive. You're only selling them for, it was a dollar, right, is what you're selling them for, like 99 cents or something. And then on top of that, you know, there's so many, you know, Bible study groups out there. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to sit there and, you know, okay, we're studying, you know, I don't know, Isaiah or something, and you're going through it, you know, or, you know, we're on Paul or wherever, you know, you are in the Bible, and you're trying to break it down, and it's hard, especially when I was in school, I used to go with my friends a lot to their Bible study groups, and I'd find that, you know, they'd have, like, a really hard time sitting there. and, you know, trying to break it down, where I love this because these are great books for Bible studies to, like, get kind of an organized way of going through Scripture, because I think when you take the Bible and you do it book by book, it can be very overwhelming sometimes to try and, like, then break it down, you know,
right.
Where this, it's like it's broken down based on different, you know, topic ideas instead. And then, and I find I learn better, and I don't know if anybody does this, but I always flip back to, like, the reference part, and we'll look up, like, scriptures, like, by subject, you know, based on the subject they're covering, and actually read those scriptures instead, and find by jumping around through the Bible and just studying, like, you know, like I was saying, like, on something, like, just on prayer, you know, praying to God. You know, I find I actually learn more, and it sinks into my head because it's, like, all on one topic versus going, oh, my gosh, what is this prophet trying to tell me here, you know, in all these chapters. So I love that because I think, you know, I don't know, and I mean, because I'm obviously not a preacher or a pastor in a church, but I even think for people who do that for a living, these are great books, again, because it helps, you know, I'm pretty sure it's hard to sit down and figure out, well, you know, what talk am I going to give this Sunday in church to my, you know, to my congregation, you know, so I see this as another way for people who are in those kind of, you know, auxiliary type positions to be able to, you know, use these as a tool to get ideas, and of course, it's got the journaling aspect that they can journal their thoughts right there on what they want to talk about, you know, come Sunday to their congregation. I mean, I see Bible Bites being a really great thing for, you know, anybody in the Christian faith in so many different capacities. I really, really do. So I think I love it. I've never seen anything like this. I know it's probably why Lisa was like, oh, my gosh, we need these books. Because, you know, I've never, when I've walked into a Christian store, have ever seen anything at all like this, ever.
Well, I hadn't either. And when you look in the front of a Bible, or when you look at the website for the different Bible publishing houses, you will see that you can use up to 500 verses or 1,000 verses. It depends on the particular version or translation. But you can't. The reason that there are not other journals out there with just scriptures is because you need permission from the publisher. I did pay Tyndale House for using up to 400 scriptures for my books. And originally, my original thought was to have one book per month, but because of the cost of publishing, I couldn't get anything that would meet my price point. So that's kind of why it's now, I've only got four books, and it's kind of like for almost a year, as opposed to having 12 books, one book per month.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has to do with publishing costs. I will mention, though, I do have my own little blog, which is very small, and it's not been visited. It's just BibleBytes.net. Oh, let me mention this. When I wanted to buy the domain name, I looked at BibleBytes.com, and the lowest price that I saw was close to $1,000, but I could buy BibleBytes.net and everything else for a lot less. But it said that at GoDaddy.com, it had very strong name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me something about that, too. When I was first thinking about a name for my series of booklets, it was going to be God's Word, My Walk. And I've always heard that you have to be first in some type of an idea or industry, and you'll hopefully be the biggest. But name is also very important. So, okay, God, what are we going to call this? And Bible Bites. So those are, the one letter that's second in the alphabet. And that always, it's always a good factor, too, because it's at the beginning of the alphabet with Bible Bites. I'd like to mention this, too, about America, land that I love. I've got all of these scriptures here in Word documents. So a week ago we had the election, and about 4 or 5 days before the election, I put everything into one Word document. I had over 50 scriptures, but I wanted to do it so that I had enough scriptures on one single page, and I put two pages together as a Word document. And I'm in a Tea Party group locally here in northern Wisconsin, and also for another conservative group. And then I sent these two pages, not as a Word document, but as an email, with topics to pray about for the election. And I slept 9 hours that night. I hadn't slept 9 hours straight, probably since I was a little girl. So when I do different things here with Bible Bites, God confirms that I'm doing something that blesses him by giving me a good night's sleep. So that kind of encourages me to continue on. Every now and then when I'm doing my blogging, like last night I put something on my blog spot, and then I slept 8 hours straight without waking up. That doesn't happen to me often enough, but to me it confirms that I'm doing something that God wants me to do, and he's blessing me by a good night's sleep, which is very refreshing.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I'm sure, I mean, when you're doing something that, at least that I have found, when I feel like I'm doing something and I know I'm doing, you know, good works and I'm doing mm-hmm. stuff in my life that are positive, I find exactly that, you know, that I tend to feel more relaxed and I tend to get a deeper and better, you know, sleep in the evening mm-hmm. and stuff. So that's very true. And you know, lately, because Marcia Casper Cook and I have been doing, I've had more shows, you know, along these type of lines here on the World of Eat Network. And, you know, so people are finding out that, you know, I am, because, you know, as authors, when we're in the fictional world, we tend to hide our personal lives a little bit more because, you know, we don't want fans to think that all that affects what we do in our books. But, you know, I am very religious, and it is, I mean, like I said, I mean, I've grown up in my life where it's constantly been around me and stuff. And I can tell you, I mean, I know when I'm doing exactly you're saying on the right track, because you do, you feel that glow and that burn in your bosom, and you tend to feel more rested and have the energy you need to go forward and do the things you need to do. So I think that's mm-hmm. great. Now I would love for you to kind of talk about what your future plans are, because I know that you have these four books, but this isn't, it's not just going to stop there. I mean, I know there's more that you would like to do and accomplish. So, but what's kind of on your plate now, you know, going forward, that these books are, you know, are getting out there, that you're starting to look at and get geared up to roll out next?
Psalms and Proverbs. I would like to approach a Bible publisher and ask them to print out Bible, and maybe one exists, with just Psalms and Proverbs, so it's small, and go through those two books, find the topics, and choose the verses, and have maybe five books for each book, have five books of Bible Bites, each for Psalms and for Proverbs, and have this as a gift for high schoolers before they leave home away to college. I've heard so many people say, I raised my kids conservatives in the church, and by Thanksgiving they're coming home, and they are so radical with what they're learning at school. And if they had something that could just that they could just stay grounded in with God's word, it's obviously a huge concern for parents when they're spending thousands of dollars to send their kids in, and their kids are being indoctrinated and totally ripped apart from what they learned at home. So Psalms and Proverbs, when you go through that with the Proverbs, it obviously it's all about the wisdom. But then when you're going through the Psalms, it's the comfort of God's love and the fact that he forgives you again and again and again, and that he is steadfast forever. So that's, mm-hmm. if you just kind of put it out there, and if these young people can find out about that, that's kind of like my next goal.
No, and I think that's a great goal. And it actually even makes me think about, you know, and who knows what our next 4 years are going to be like here in the U.S. because we just had our elections and, you know, Obama mm-hmm. was reelected. But so the next 4 years are very, who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, we did just come out of, you know, 4 years of a very hard, you know, economy situation. And I find that even in those type of situations, two things happen. You're talking about, you know, how teens, when they graduate high school and they go off to college. And I actually went to party school. I went to school in San Diego. So trust me, I know what you're talking about, because I was in Party City. Because everybody's like, oh, what college do you go to? San Diego. Oh, Party College. Yes, yes, I went to the Party College. But... when the economy gets bad, that's, you know, two things happen. Either people think, you know, well, my fate's predestined, and so no matter what I do, it's not going to matter, so everything in my life sucks, and therefore I'm just going to do whatever the heck I want, it doesn't matter. Or people, you know, look and go, what can I do? And then they end up turning around and usually coming to religion. And so I think, you know, even with what's going on in not just the United States economy, but even the world economy, you know, having that, you know, having the Psalms broken down like that, I think is a good thing, because, you know, when times are tough, you know, people find themselves again in that split situation. And it's hard to stay steadfast. I mean, and my husband and I just recently, you know, were just talking, and I know I mentioned to you before the show started, you know, he was promoted. And so, you know, we've been looking kind of at our situation. It's like, you know, we're still in our starter home from when we got married, and it's the whole, do we sell our house and upgrade? And I kind of looked at him. I said, well, let's see what happens with the election. And I told him, I said, if Obama gets in, I really think we need to stay steadfast. And you know, even though house prices are down right now, I'm like, you know, if Obama gets in, you know, I'm thinking we should probably stay for another 4 years in our house, because everybody's still, you know, isn't sure what's going to happen. If Romney gets in, a lot of people really knew what his plan was, and we would, and I think we'll see what's going to happen with housing prices, you know, within the first year. You know, we'll see the reflection sooner, and then maybe we'll jump. And since Obama got in, I'm like, okay, I know we want to, it's hard because it's so tempting, because you're looking at houses and you're going, I can get a really nice house right now for, like, not a lot of money. I'm like, I think we should wait 4 years, because everybody is uncertain. I mean, you know, what's going to happen. And it's hard. It's really hard to stay, you know, that course. But
I know it.
Yep. You know, and go ahead.
Yeah, what thing is, there was something that I learned at that support group. It says, what you fear controls you. And that you were saying exactly what you were saying really confirms that statement. Because based on your fear of the economy, you will not leave, you won't go out of your comfort zone. And I think that's what millions of people are experiencing. They will not go out of their comfort zone because there is such a level of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a, you know, another thing that I'd kind of like to mention to you, and this is another thing that I heard air at my support group. You are who you are 5 years from now unless two things change. One of them is the books that you read, and the other is the people that you spend your time with. And on over the weekend, I attended just a little meeting at my church, and one lady mentioned that her son was in one state. He finally came to Christ. He quit drinking, and he is moving to a different state because he has to get away from the people who will just continue to lead him away from Christ. Even though he's accepted Christ, he says, I've got to make a total break with my past. And that is exactly what Bible Bites are about. Once you get an introduction, and, you know, there's so many different support groups, or, I mean, 12-step plans. If you do a 12-step plan with Bible Bites, get a different, you know, continue on with this for 6 or 8 books for 1 year, you can go through a 12-step plan, first focusing on God, so where it says, I can't let God, you know, God can let him do it. And that step 4 is that fearless and searching moral industry. In one of the questions that I had in one of the books about 8 or 9 years ago, ask God to reveal an incident to you from your childhood. Doesn't matter what it is, but write it down. And the incident that God revealed, I thought, this is really kind of bizarre. When I was in second grade, I couldn't do my arithmetic homework. We had to carry over, I think it was either subtraction or addition, you know, with two sets of numbers, or if it was like, you know, tens or hundreds, I can't remember. But I couldn't figure it out the way my teacher taught me. So my mother taught me overnight how to carry the numbers up and down. And the next day I told my teacher, I can't do it the way you did. You know, my mom taught me how to do it. And then she grabbed me by the shoulders and she said, don't do it the way your mother told you. Do it the way I told you. I was 7 years old at that time, and I was terrified of anyone with an angry voice or an authority figure who directed their anger or a nasty look at me. Do you know how long it took me to get over that?
No. How long did it take you?
45 years.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
So what I'm saying is what you fear controls you. Because of a childhood incident, whenever somebody else got mad at me, even though I was in my 20s or 30s or 40s, mm-hmm. I was 7 years old because that person was angry at me because of my teacher. And if you can work through some of these issues, I never would have discovered that if I hadn't gone to a support group. But what I'm saying is that so many people will not go to a support group because it gets them out of their house. They have to start talking in front of other people. But if they have a small booklet that's 4 inches by 6 inches and it's only got 50 sets of verses in there, God can do a miracle with them in their own bedroom, in their own house.
Yeah, and I like that too because there's a lot of people, and not that I'm trying to pick on gender, but men tend to be a little bit more resistant to mm-hmm. opening up about their feelings. Because I know my husband is that way, and you know, when you're talking about that, you know, it started making me think about my husband actually hates yelling. His dad yelled a lot at him, and so he absolutely hates when anybody raises their voice. And so our house, which is hard because my mom's very loud, so I'm just loud naturally. And so my husband's like, quit yelling. I'm like, I'm not yelling. I'm just excited. But, you know, I had to learn to tone it down. So our house is pretty mellow compared to what I grew up in because of that. And, you know, and that's the thing. And, you know, I know it has to – I know because he's mentioned, you know, my dad used to yell a lot, so I don't like yelling. He used to always yell at me. And that's about as much as he's ever talked about. But I bet there's probably more to it. And something like this would help him maybe realize that and move beyond that. Because you're right. You know, people do – sometimes stuff happens and we don't realize – you know, on the conscious level as much anymore, where it's stemming from.
Right. They follow the footsteps of their parents, even though they say, I'll never act like my parents. Another thing that I kind of wanted to bring up is anger is a result of unforgiveness. And I don't think people have an idea how long they cling to the past. And I know this specifically with my husband. You know, this was like 20 or 25 years ago. When we would have a fight, I would be angry, and then 4 hours later, I would realize I'm not angry anymore. It was like there's some type of a chemical or hormonal component to all of this, and then when that finally flushes away, the anger is gone. But the same thing with anger. If you can talk about an incident that happened 5 or 10 or 20 years ago, and you're still getting mad, it shows that you haven't forgiven the incident, the person, the action, somebody else's behavior or your own behavior. But when you get to the point, and I've learned this with my husband, if I'm mad at him, I say, okay, God, I'm forgiving my husband or my daughter for this X, Y, or Z, and then I give it to God. It's just so much easier, and I'm a less angry person because I've just learned to forgive. And forgiveness doesn't mean that the person doesn't experience any consequences. It means that I'm leaving those consequences to God instead of demanding that that person obey or adhere to consequences that I want to exact on them.
It helps you come to a point where you found like a humbling, you know, spot where you recognize your part in it, and then everybody else's part in it. So it's kind of like you're looking at it, you know, instead of, and I think that's probably why a lot of people have a hard time with anger is because you haven't moved past your own perception.
Right.
And what you're talking about is a way for people to kind of take themselves out of their own shoes, basically, and look at it, the whole picture versus just a little piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the last thing that I would like to bring up today here for this interview is a number of years ago with Chuck Holson. He was a wonderful human being, but he had a bad start, got humble, and then he turned all his energies to focus on prison fellowship. And at one point, somebody had asked him, how do we keep people out of prison? And he said, take them to Sunday school just 10 times when they're growing up. If you just introduce them to God, God is going to take hold of them. And so that's what I want Bible Bites to do. I want it to be small enough and easy enough for a fifth grader to understand, and hopefully that can change somebody's life.
I think that's great, and you're right. I mean, it's so easy for us to not realize, especially as parents, you know, how important it is to plant, you know, those basic seeds in our children, you know, of morals and, you know, respect and, you know, in the future, because, you know, I think a lot of people at least this has been my experience anyways, growing up, my friends who didn't really have any type, it didn't matter what religion, but any type of a religious base in their life, tended to go through life very uncertain, versus my friends who, even though they only went to church maybe only on the holidays, because I had a few friends that the only time they told me the only time we go to church is for Sunday and is for Christmas and Easter Mass, and that's it. But I found that they had a better concept of life and of a direction than my friends who never set foot into a church of any kind. So I agree. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who are very, you know, anti-religion, but, you know, I find that they tend to be a little bit lost as well on knowing what a future outcome of any kind is. So, I mean, that's just, that's of course me, my opinion, but.
Yeah, our deepest need is love, and humans will fail us in one way or another, but when I found out that God loves me unconditionally, in spite of the fact that I'm a sinner, in spite of the fact that I will continue to sin till the day I die, in spite of the fact that I get mad at him, I get mad at other people, in spite of the fact that I can't control issues, it was just this unconditional love that drew me to him. And because of that, now I just want to make sure that other people get introduced to his unconditional love as well. Because he changed my life, he can do it for someone else too. I trust him to do that.
Yeah, no, and I love that because you're right. Unconditional love, I think once we feel that and know that we have an unconditional love surrounding us, I think we have a better self-esteem. We tend to be a little bit more goal-oriented, and we tend to look at the future instead of being scared of it with more of an optimistic outlook. And so I love that, and I love that, you know, that you're trying to share that message with people and let them, you know, not just share your own message, but also with them by, you know, using your books, Bible Bites, to look inward at themselves and discover it for themselves without any pressure on them whatsoever from, you know, other people. You know, it's just between them, you know, and God and, you know, whatever, you know, comes into their own heart between that. So I love that. And I'm looking forward to seeing what more you do with it, because I mean there's so many different avenues and topics and ideas that can, you know, continue with this little book series, and so I love it. I'm sure we have some listeners that are probably wondering, which I should have asked you earlier in the show, and it just dawned on me, don't forget to ask us, but because you were talking earlier how there are different translations of the Bible, which one did you use for your books?
I chose the New Living Translation. In my Bible study, every now and then we would all read the same verse, and each verse or each translation would give a different flavor. But one gal has the New Living Translation Bible, and I always liked her. The flavor, the interpretation from her reading was always what struck closest to home for me. So that's why I chose the New Living Translation.
Well,
and that's
I
by
like
Kendall.
It. Yeah, I want to say, I think a lot of, you know, and this is, of course, for, you know, any parents who are listening, but I know because my son went to Sunrise Christian when we lived out in California, and it seemed a lot of the what wasn't a specific denomination of a religious school, they tended to use that particular Bible in the schools. And I think it's probably because for kids, it's an easier one for them to understand. When they hear it or when they read it themselves. So that's probably a really good pick for that reason. So I agree. But is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know before we let you go, Shirley? I mean, it's been fun talking to you. And like I said, I mean, this is such a different show from what we normally have. So I'm really excited. I mean, I'm sorry Irene wasn't here, but I'm excited I got to be a part of it because, you know, I'm so used to talking about fairies and spies, and so this is such a different topic for me on my normal shows.
I think what I would like to do is say that, like with my sunrise picture, God gave me this gift. I had no idea what I was going to do with it 4 years ago, but now it's on the front cover of a book. So that's one thing I'd kind of like to say is, when God gives you a gift, ask him what he wants you to do with that gift. I think the next thing that I would like to say is that as I've been journaling in my just my printer paper, and I would have two pages of prayer requests. At the end of the month, I can see quite a few things checked off. For one of my daughters, I just put down there, Carla, her job and her house situation. Well, since I've been doing that, she's already had like two different job offers. This was like maybe a year and a half ago. Her former boss came and said, well, somebody is leaving my department. Do you want to interview? She interviewed the next day, was offered the job the following day, gave her notice the next day, and started her new job on the following Monday. So that was about a year and a half ago. And then the same, mm-hmm. I keep Carla and her job because of this economic situation. You don't know what's going to happen. And then about 2 weeks ago, it was like, well, I have some good news and some bad news. Okay, well, what's the good news? Well, she got another job. She interviewed on Monday and got the job offer on the second day. And then she said the bad news is because I won't be able to take time off because this weekend my husband and I are driving down to Illinois, and then I would be spending 2 weeks at her house. And she's going to be starting her new job rather than being able to take some vacation time. So that was the bad news. She's got a new job with a huge raise. And then another friend, it's just really kind of cool. I don't believe in coincidence. My husband has a friend who is a construction superintendent down in the Chicago area. And you know how construction has gone. It just went in the tank. And so he had been out of work off and on for the past 3 or 4 years. And Scott and I would talk about that. And, you know, I thought, oh, I'm just going to write this about, Bill and his job situation. And the day that I wrote it in my prayer journal, he got two job offers that same day. I don't believe in consequences, but it does make a difference when you write something down. And you always hear about this. And for me, it was always out there. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and do Bible Bites. And in my conversations with Lisa, I just kind of happened to mention, well, every October, Eagle River has Cranberry Fest, and they get 40,000 people coming to town. We only have 22,000 people in the whole county year-round, and then for one weekend, when it's the full fall colors, then we have Cranberry Fest. But when I said 40,000 people come to town, that's when she took it and said, essentially, it's time to get published now. So that was the impetus. It had always been out there, but Lisa convinced me to say, do it, do it, do it. So I went ahead and got my books published. Cranberry Fest is a lot, obviously a lot has to do with cranberries because they have cranberry bars. And they have like a cranberry shortcake and all kinds of foods with cranberries and a lot of crafts. So my booth did not go out very well, but I'm still confident it will work. I will find the avenue that God wants me to promote his Bible Bites through. So I'm just confident. But, yeah, I think what I want to say is every door is not going to be swinging wide open with success, but you will grow in increments in blessing God and receiving his blessings in return.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of, you know, how you made the comment that, you know, it's not going to be an easy road. I have found that when you're on the right road, it's never the easy road. If the road's really simple and you find that you don't have too many bumps along the way, then obviously you're not walking the path you should be because if you're walking the righteous path, as my mom always said, if you're walking the righteous path, you're going to have more bumps and ditches and valleys and mountains to climb because adversity is going to try and stop you on that path because they don't want you on it. And so I've always kind of thought about that, you know, when I'm feeling good and positive and all of a sudden it's like, oh, great, now here's another setback, and then I'm going along, like, oh, great, there's another setback. I'm like, I'm obviously on the right path because everybody's trying to stop me. And obviously I don't need to stop. I need to keep going and just plow through it. So I'm glad you have that very optimistic outlook because it is hard. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, when you are writing a book and it has to do with religion, you know, be it a non-denominational book or one that's, you know, specific for a certain religious group, you will always find resistance to some degree because, you know, it is so true, and I can talk about this, one being on the editing side of the table and one being, you know, on the writing side of the table. You know, nobody likes rejection letters at all when they're in the writing world. And when I work with new writers all the time, I tell them, like, well, you can't look at it as a rejection letter. You have to look at what can I learn from this? Because obviously there's something you're going to grow from. And so I kind of and I've learned that, you know, through my religious life, because, again, you know, for my mom saying that, you know, if you're on the road to righteousness, then you're going to have more bumps and, you know, bruises along the way. And I find that's because how else do you get that nice diamond that's rough cut, nice, shiny, and polished? It has to get tumbled, thrown around, and, you know, kicked a few times. But that's when it starts to get polished and shiny. So, you know, and that's how religion is, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while for some people to get kicked around enough to get shiny and polished on that road.
Another way to look at that, too, this is another thing that I heard quite a few years ago, too, is the closer you get to God, the harder the devil has to work. Mm-hmm. And if you think about that, he's the one who's putting all those obstacles, because, you, like you say, you are on the road to righteousness. It's not a fun road, but you have to keep on persevering, because God is going there with you, and he's going to be getting you through it. And so I didn't really have, I wouldn't say publishers. Initially, when I started going through this, I was looking for printers. And then when I finally came across Halo Publishing and reading a little bit about Lisa Amina, she wanted to do something, and she couldn't find a publisher who would work with her. So that's why she started all the self-publishing, and I think she pretty much takes on quite a few projects. And when I spoke to her about a month ago, I said, well, how many books have you got kind of like in the hopper? And she said, oh, about 25 now. So she's super busy, because people are publishing on their own because they can't get it through standard or traditional publishing houses, but they still have a message that they want to put out in front of the public. And Lisa is willing to do that. And Lisa, because I was first looking for a printer, I really had no way to market my series. And now here I am talking with you, because she gave me a format for marketing that I never even knew existed. So,
And it's great. And it is a slow road. But, you know, you're on the right track, and like I said, I'm really excited about this. I think it's a great series of books, because, you know, besides being a great Christmas present, which is right around the corner, or, you know, if you see somebody who just seems really lost in their lives, and, you know, it's an inexpensive gift just to give, like you're saying, to, like, your postman or a coworker or somebody like that. Then, of course, if you're really, you know, devout in your church, and you're in an auxiliary position where you're teaching, you know, be it, you know, Bible study or preacher or pastor or whatever, I mean, these are great. To me, it's a great tool that you can, you know, add with your, you know, with your teaching as well. So, I mean, there's just so many avenues. And I love the fact, too, you're talking about, you know, addicts and people who are trying to go through, you know, different types of recovery, be it, you know, substance abuse, emotional abuse, you know, whatever. I mean, these are ways that, you know, people can use, you know, a tool to bring them closer to their faith and who they are as a person, and find that unconditional love that we all need. So it's been really great having you on the show, Shirley, and sharing about these books. And I'm excited because, like I said, I have never seen anything like that. I mean, I've heard people talk about doing stuff like this, or, you know, put their own little programs together, but to actually have something out there, because sometimes that's the biggest thing, too, is, you know, you hear about something. Like I said, you know, I had the one teacher who was talking about how he would write a scripture down, stick it in his pocket, and take it with him through the day and just study that one scripture all day long. And I was like, in one ear out the other, because I'm like, oh, that's so much effort. Where if he would have handed me your book, I would be like, oh, this is easy. You know, especially as a teen, you know, I'm like, effort? You want me to do more than just homework and go to school, like, and take tests? What? How dare you ask me to do more? And unfortunately, young people do think that way. So it's great for that reason, too.
Right. And to me, it's a legacy series, because if you can start with Meet God and His Son, and I always date every page that I do, and then years later, your family finds this. Oh, I didn't know that Mom was praying for me about this. I didn't know, you know, that they were struggling with this or that or other issues. You know, little kids might have no idea that you know, mom or dad doesn't have a job, that they're worried about losing their home, but they gave those problems to God, and they can see joy in their family because they're giving their issues to God and they're waiting on God for the results instead of trying to take things into their own hands.
Right, and I love that too, because I have to tell you, my fondest memories growing up was always spending time with my grandma, my mother's mom, the one that does the family history. Because, I mean, not only did she share stories of her own self, but I got to hear, you know, so much, which is probably why I loved when I got into college and I studied the Great Depression, because I knew already from my own family history a lot of what my family went through and what their thoughts were and their attitude was during that time.
Mm-hmm.
That it really impacted me, though, as now as an adult. And, you know, not that we've ever been through a depression, but, I mean, going through hard economic times and trying to deal with those things, I mean, I reflect back on a lot of that, a lot of what I remember sitting and just spending hours talking to my grandma about. And, I mean, those are some of my most fondest memories. So you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Just the journaling aspect, you know, if you're not a huge religious buff, you know, just that part of the Bible Bite series is phenomenal, because, you know, that's something that your posterity can hold on to and help them during their times of need. To be able to look back and see how your attitude was and what the outcome was from that attitude as well. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. Now, can you share with everybody again your link so they can follow you?
Oh, BibleBytes. Yeah, just BibleBytes.net. That's my blog spot, and I've got my contact information in there.
Well, it's been great having you. And then just so our listeners know, Bible Bites are put out through Halo Publishing International, so you can always go to Halo's website as well, and then also the World of Ink Network on the worldofinknetwork.com under the Authors on Tour. We are going to actually be helping Shirley get the Bible Bites out to the online social audience that's out there. So we're going to be doing a World of Ink tour that is going to be kicking off today with today's interview, and then her tour page will be up later this evening with the various different stops between book reviews, interviews. You have a few guest posts I know that you were sent to work on as well. So it'll be a great way to learn more about Shirley's, the Bible Bites, and, you know, just the way that this can help impact your life and help you through these hard times as we're all looking forward to the next, at least us in the U.S., the next 4 years and what's going to happen in those 4 years, since it's an unknown future right now for everybody. It wouldn't matter who won, actually. I think all of us would be looking to the next 4 years as uncertain, no matter who was holding office. So it'll be an interesting time, and this might be a way for you to kind of log your thoughts and to ponder and reflect during this time. So, but thank you again, Shirley. It's been great having you here on the Writing Mama Show, and I wish you the best. I'm looking forward throughout November and into December, following your tour and learning more and any new inspiration that comes to you along the way. Because I'm sure as the tour goes on, you'll have some more inspiration that you'll be sharing. So I'm looking forward to it.
I sure hope so.
All right. Well, you have a great day. Thank you again for coming on.
Okay, thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. And for our listeners, so they know, we do have A Good Story is a Good Story tomorrow with Marcia Casper Cook here on the World of Ink Network. And then I believe Fran Lewis also has a show coming on. I just want to double-check my show notes on that. Yes, book discussion with Fran Lewis will be on the 15th, so that'll be on Thursday this week. As well, so you can join her, and she always has two interesting authors on her show every Thursday when she is here at the World of Ink Network. And on Marcia's show tomorrow, she is going to be joined by a co-host, actually, so that will be a fun show since she usually does that show by herself. Her shows are always interesting and full of information for those in the writing and publishing and editing world, so I definitely would tune in tomorrow for that. And then for those who are interested in Shirley's World of Ink tour for Bible Bites, again, her tour page will be up on theworldofinknetwork.com later this evening. And then her first stop is actually going to be at Blog Critics on the 14th. It will be a spotlight interview about Shirley and the Bible Bites series. So you can go to blogcritics.com, I believe that is their URL, and read her interview on the 14th. And we thank you again all for listening. We wish you all a safe and exciting week. We know Thanksgiving is right around the corner, so hope you're all planning those wonderful family get-togethers. And take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. You want to have some fun? Okay. Are you ready? Sing along now.
My name is Stanley Bookman, and I come from the world of ink. I live in a town called Storyville that's closer than you think. Just hop online and you will find my online world of fun. There's stories, poems, and features on everything under the sun. Just type in Stories for Children Magazine at .org to the end. Come join me in reading adventures, we're sure to become good friends. So come to the world of ink with me, we'll share a story or two. We'll go all over the world, you'll see, we'll have fun the whole day through.
Follow me to the world of ink.